The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Welcome to Being Here. We are thrilled today to have our special guest, Dr. Ivan Meisner, back with us again. It's the third time he's been on the show. We are fortunate enough to have him talking with us today about his newest book, Business Networking and Sex, Not What You Think. And we'll be speaking with Ivan shortly. But first, let's talk about how to actually get the most
out of this program,
and from what he has to say.
And that is by listening. Listening is one of the things we talk about on every show, and listening requires that you set aside what you're thinking about to hear what another person is saying. You actually set down your agenda and where you want to get the conversation to go to hear their point of view. Now, if you do that, it will pull you into the current moment of your life. Most of us are lost in a future and past scenario where we're trying to get somewhere or we're trying to get away from something or we're thinking about what we did in the past and how we should have done it differently. If you listen, it will pull you into the current moment of now, and that's all it takes. But most of us don't listen. Think about what the other person is saying to see whether we agree or disagree with it. And rarely do we ever just hear the other person's point of view. But if you listen today to this show, I am sure that Dr. Meisner will provide you with information that if you actually hear it, it can increase your sales, can support your relationships, it will support your life.
Now, I know those of you who follow our show, and many of you have followed it for many years, know that we often speak about listening. But there may be something new today for you, because you may not have stopped to consider that how you listen depends on your gender. You may listen actually differently. You may dismiss different things or tune up for different things depending on if you're a man or a woman. And today we're going to investigate some of that. It's an anthropological approach, a non-judgmental seeing of how you are. And if you see something that you've missed, something even potentially very small can make
it. It can have a profound difference. Oh, did we say we finished each
other's sentence?
Okay, we finished each other's. It can have a profound difference in the quality of interactions in life.
So let us tell you a little bit about Dr. Meisner. He's called the father of modern networking by CNN and the networking guru by Entrepreneur Magazine. He's considered one of the world's leading experts on business networking. He's been featured on shows like on CNN and NBC and the Today Show, CNBC, BBC, and the Los Angeles Times. His books are New York Times bestsellers. We're thrilled to have him on the show. Dr. Ivan Meisner, welcome.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for having me back on your show. I love doing this show.
Yes. In fact, before the show's over, we're going to let everybody know where in the archives to look at the previous shows. Those were excellent, too. So I'm sure you're going to want to hear more from him, and what he has to say is rather timeless, so it'll be worth going back.
Timeless and timely.
Timeless and timely, yes. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In networking, what do men often do wrong, and what do women often do wrong? How do they approach it?
Well, you know, it was an epiphany for me when I started seeing as the result of this book and this survey, because we surveyed 12,000 people all over the world, every populated continent, and asked them questions about networking. And we got, you know, 12,000 responses and 1,000 open-ended answers. And I was a little bit surprised at what we're doing wrong. And here's what men do. Let's start with what men are doing wrong. Men, when a man has, and okay, so I have to say first, for those of you listening, I'm not talking about you. You know, everybody's a little different, because I say this stuff and somebody goes, well, I don't do that. Okay, so maybe I'm not talking about you. But when you survey 12,000 people, let me tell you, you get some patterns.
Right.
And there were clear patterns in the way men tended to behave and the way women tended to behave. And so I'm talking about those patterns, not about, you know, any particular listener, because everybody's a little different. So knowing that, here's one that really surprised me. When men tend to introduce themselves to men, this technique works fine. And that is, you know, hi, nice to meet you, you know, so tell me what you do. And then the other man basically does a resume. I'm the vice president of marketing of such and such a company. I supervise X number of people. We do, you know, and so it's kind of like a resume read. And for men, it's like, oh, okay, this guy's successful. He's good. Okay. I just thought that was normal. But what I started to notice when talking to women in this survey is that women felt that men were bragging. They had a completely different reaction to the resume-like review of who they are and what they do. And I was surprised by that, really surprised by that. And again, not all women, but many were like, yeah, I know, men do that. It's like they're bragging. And you know, I'm supposed to be like an expert on networking. I didn't see that until I did a survey where we asked specific questions. Now, women, here's what we found with the women, what they may be doing wrong, is that women in the networking tended to be more relational, and there's a whole other section we should talk about with transactional versus relational. Men were a little more transactional. Women were more likely to be relational. And so their discussion would be very relational. And Hazel, one of my co-authors, Hazel Walker, she has a great example of how women, when they're introducing themselves to men, might want to do it a little differently. And she uses a real-life example of a cosmetics consultant who, when talking to a man and asked what she does, she says, well, I sell cosmetics, and I love the business because, you know, it enables me to have time for my children, and, you know, I have freedom, and talking about things like this. And as a guy, I get this. I can see, I know that these cosmetics consultants really work hard, but I can see how a man, you could just almost see their eyes roll up in their head and go, okay, not a real business, not really, they don't think their business is important. Let me tell you guys, they think their business is important, and oftentimes very successful, but they just communicate it differently. And so Hazel says, you know, when you're talking to a man, you might want to introduce yourself differently. I run a cosmetics division. We did $120 million worth of business last year. I have 45 saleswomen who work for me. Now, a guy's going to go, whoa, this is an impressive business person. And so understanding who you're talking to and how you introduce yourself is kind of important. And that was a complete surprise to me. I didn't realize that before I started the book.
I love that you actually surveyed 12,000 people. You
yeah.
definitely get a significant
cross-section
of people when you do that.
Yeah, we did. And the book is really unique in that every chapter is split into three sections. There's the survey says, and that's me. I'm the data geek. I talk about the survey and the data, and I try to do it in an interesting way and say, here's what men said, here's what women said. And then it's he says, she says. So Frank Durafoli, he does the he says. And I try to do it in a gender neutral way. Here's you know what the data is. And Frank and Hazel, they're anything but gender neutral. And they take it for the team. Frank gives it from the male perspective. Hazel gives it from the female perspective. And the entire book is laid out that way. And it's kind of an interesting read, you know, splitting it up in three ways like that.
It was very interesting. Please, listeners, I have to tell you, you may be listening now as a man or a woman, and I suggest that you don't defend your sex nor cheer when it looks like women are doing things better or men are doing better.
Well, you know, when you say that, Ariel, there is a gender bias that both genders have. You see it in our workshops. We see how people align or go into agreement with each other about how that man said it wrong if they're women, or vice versa.
Yes, so I'm suggesting that people volitionally,
intentionally,
listen to Ivan today in a neutral manner. And one of the things I really loved about Hazel Walker and Frank Duraffoli is they often pulled the rug out from underneath the listener. They would really champion the way a man might see or a woman might see him at the end and say, and if you are agreeing with this, you've really got it wrong. You're missing a lot of sales.
Yeah. And that's right. And that's the point, is that the idea is to bridge the gender gap. You know, half the population are men, half are women. You want to bridge that gender gap so that you can expand the business that you're doing. And you're right. They do it that way.
So that made the book fun and interesting. And you will learn a lot. I got to tell you the name of it again. Get out your pencils. It's Business, Networking, and Sex, Not What You Think.
Yeah, but not what you think. Now, see, I wanted it to be Business, Networking, and Gender, but wait, can you hear the crickets?
Yeah, it's not quite as sexy a title that way.
It's not, no.
So what can women learn from men in business?
Well, I think one of the things that we found that women talked about themselves, that they had a difficult time closing sales, that they didn't close the sales very well. And so one of the things that men do reasonably well is they ask for the sale. So they have no problem asking for the sale. As a rule, everybody's different, but as a rule, men were more consistent at feeling comfortable with asking for the sale. And women, you know, so many women talked about in the survey about not getting to that. They're great at building a relationship, not so good at asking for the sale.
So is it that they're afraid of being seen as pushy?
You know, I'm not sure the why, but I can tell you how it happens. It happens because of a concept that we had in the book called and I've talked about this in other books. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it on your show, the idea of VCP, the VCP process, visibility, credibility, profitability.
Yes.
And everybody goes through those three phases. If you're networking right, what we found is the men and women may be a little different in how they go through those phases. So the phases are the three: visibility, credibility, profitability. They're chronological. You start with, if you're doing it right, it should be chronological. You start with visibility. People know who you are and what you do. Then you go to credibility. People know who you are, what you do. They know you're good at it. Then you get to profitability, where people know who you are. They know what you do. They know you're good at it. And you're getting referrals on an ongoing reciprocal basis. Well, our theory was, and it played out this way, that women would have a tendency to go from visibility to profitability and get caught up in profitability, the relationship process. They were really good at building the relationships, but have a more difficult time getting to that profitability where they're asking for the sale. So they're great at the relationship. And I'd love to come back to this idea. We even define business relationships differently. That shocked me. Define business relationships differently. But women are better at it. But asking for the sale is tough. Men, on the other hand, had a tendency to try to go from visibility right to profitability and try to jump over credibility, more transactional. You know, hi, my name's Ivan. You know, we should be doing business. And by the way, we call that premature solicitation, which I don't want to take out. And that's
very good.
And it played out that way in the survey. We found that, in fact, men tended to be more transactional than women, and women tended to be more relational than men. So,
did you find if men were being transactional with each other that it didn't backfire as much as with women?
Yeah, it probably did not backfire as much as women. We didn't ask that specific question, but it most likely didn't, except what we did find was that relational beat transactional, regardless of gender. That people who focused on the relationship first and the business second, and combined genders, they did better, because one of the questions we asked was, what percentage of your business do you generate networking, and how much time are you spending networking? And we found that people who focused on relationships actually generated a larger percentage of their business than those who focused on the transaction or the business first. So whether you're a man or a woman, relationship beats transaction. And I would agree that it's probably men being transactional with men is okay, but even then, it's really all about the relationship. You know, it's about trust. You're only going to refer somebody you trust. And if you try to get right to the, you know, you go for the kill right away, there's no trust.
Well, it's kind of like dating in a way.
Yeah.
You have to build a relationship before you go further.
Yes, you absolutely do, and it absolutely applies to networking. You have to have that relationship before you start referring people.
Excellent. That's very excellent. You know, one of the things that you were saying in the book was that 91% of the people who were surveyed in this survey really found that networking was very important to their business. Were you, surveying people who were only already in networking groups, or was it a wider
swath
of folks?
It was a very wide swath of folks. It was open to the public. It was not, you know, as you know, I founded an organization called BNI, which is a networking group, and it was not just for BNI members. It was open to the public. So there were people who were in none. There were people who were in multiple. There were people who were not in BNI, who were not in a chamber. You know, so it varied. It varied.
That's great. Yeah. Really great.
So I don't know if we have time to talk about the how we define relationships.
So we have about a minute left in this segment.
All right, well, maybe
a minute and a half. You can start.
Touch on it.
All right, I'll start
come
it.
Back to it.
After the break.
All right, after the break, sure, you bet.
No, I mean, you can start on it.
Oh, okay, so how we define business relationships, this totally shocked me. Because I thought, oh, you know, we're all, business relationship is a business relationship, right? There's no big deal. Well, I started talking to women based on an interview that I did for the book, and this one woman said, I have a business relationship with my dry cleaner. I'm like, really? You have a relationship with your dry cleaner? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know when their birthday is, and I, you know, I know their kids just graduated from high school. I'm like, wow, okay. So I started asking women, do you think you have a business relationship with your dry cleaner? And overwhelming majority of women said yes. And I'd ask guys, and they were like, no, I don't. And I'd even ask him, I said, well, do you know who your dry cleaner is? Do you take clothes there? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Do you have a relationship? No, I don't have a relationship with him. So, true story. I tell my wife one day before I'm going to do a presentation, I'm going to test something. 600 people in the audience. I said, tonight, honey, I'm going to ask the men. I'm going to say, raise your hand if you have a business relationship with your dry cleaner. And I said, I think 5% of the audience will raise their hand. And then I said, I'm going to ask the women. And I said, I think 70% of the audience is going to raise their hand. And she looked at me without skipping a beat. True story. She says, oh, honey, I don't think I would do that. I mean, I don't have a relationship with Richard and Diane.
Right.
Excellent. I know they have two dogs.
Now's the time to go to the break, though,
okay.
So it's perfect that you dropped the punchline in.
Excellent. And we'll come back here more about Richard and Diane, the dry cleaner she doesn't have a relationship
right.
with. After the break, come on back, everyone.
And don't miss
being here.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes Online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes' fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes' books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Being Here. We are special guest, Dr. Ivan Meisner. And before we go back and get to hear a little bit more of the story, because there's more to it, can you tell our listeners how to contact you or find out more, where your website, how do they find out more about BNI?
Our website's BNI.com. We presently have 6,200 groups in 50 countries around the world. We have groups that get together every week, and they pass each other referrals. So it's a referral organization, and BNI.com is the place to go. I also have a blog with lots of free content. Your listeners can go to businessnetworking.com, businessnetworking.com.
Great. BNI, Business Networking, Inc., probably, .com, BNI.com.
Mm-hmm. Which stands for Business Network International.
Network International. Thank you. I'm making it up. So
okay.
Tell us,
so
when last we left off.
Right. Diane said to you.
Yeah, your wife said to you.
Oh, your wife said to you, she knows Diane and.
Yeah, Richard and Diane. Richard. My wife's Beth, and Beth says, well, honey, I don't think I would try that, because, I mean, I don't have a relationship with Richard and Diane. I know they have two cute little dogs, and I helped Diane with some organic recipes recently for Richard, and I know they really want to travel to the Middle East, but Richard's afraid of flying, and Diane, she really wants to go. And then she stops, and she looks at me, and she goes, oh, maybe I do have a relationship with Richard and Diane. And I look at her, and I say, now these people deliver clothes to our home. I've met them a million times. I look at her and I say, Richard, Diane, is that the name of our dry cleaners? You know, I don't even know their names. And,
right.
And, you know, I'm a world expert on networking. Yet I'm also a guy. And so I find that as a man, I will sometimes be transactional. And I have to adjust the way I work this, because what I found in this book is that transactional is not as good as relational. And so women are getting that one right for sure. And they don't even view it as anything special. And my wife didn't. All the women I've talked to didn't. That's the way they do business. But for men, and I talked to John Gray about this. I interviewed him for the book. And one of the things John said was, yeah, it made sense to him, is that men tend to have that transactional approach. They might refer the dry cleaner because they did a good job, but they don't view it as having a relationship, whereas a woman tends to view it as having a relationship. And it really played out in the book that way.
It is
fascinating. So, what? I have a little list in front of me of different things that your folks prepared them. But there is a question here that really captivated me, and that is, what do men say that drive women crazy, and not in a good way? What kind of things do they avoid when networking?
Yeah, well, I think, and I'd have to say that most men don't do it, but it becomes the topic of discussion. When we did the survey, we got back the results. We found that in many ways, men and women were very close. You know, go back to John Gray, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We found that when it comes to networking, that Mars and Venus were like not two different planets. They were, based on the objective data, they were like two different cities in the same county. They were pretty close. But then when we looked at the open-ended answers, it was like, oh, my goodness. You know, Mars and Venus were two different galaxies two different solar systems in the galaxy. I mean, they were just light years apart. And what seems to be happening is a concept that we talk about in the book called the exception becomes the perception. And here's two different themes.
Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, the exception becomes the perception. And so your question was, what drives women crazy? And what tends to happen is that men and women tend to focus on the exception, those handful of people. For example, women complained a lot about men behaving badly, trying to... Oh, there's a great example. There were four surveys in a row with open-ended answers. We had 1,000 people give open-ended answers. Three of them, the first three were women. The last one's a man. This is true, absolutely true story. Three in a row. Women, I hate going to networking events. Men are pigs. They hit on me at a networking event. They're looking for a date. I mean, it's just one after another. Boom, boom, boom. Fourth one, no joke, is a guy. He says, I love networking events. They're a great way to pick up chicks. So on behalf of men everywhere, I'd like to apologize to to women. But we think that's the exception. But what happens is the exception becomes the perception of the gender. From many men complained about how women dressed provocatively. Okay, so let's be honest. They didn't really complain, but they did comment on how women dressed provocatively. Now, I started talking to my co-authors, and you know, we've gone to thousands of networking meetings. Do most men behave professionally? Absolutely. Do most women dress provocatively? Absolutely not. Most women dress very professionally. Most men behave professionally. Yet what happens is what we call the 98-2 rule, or the concept of the exception becomes the perception. Who are we talking about? The ladies are talking about those two idiots who are behaving badly, men, and the men are talking about those few women who are dressed provocatively. And it's those exceptions who become the perception of the gender. And that's what we end up talking a lot about. And it's really, I mean, when it comes down to our stereotypes alive, yeah, they're alive. And they're alive because of the exception, not because of the majority.
So we often talk at the top of our show about the three principles of instantaneous transformation. I think we should slide that in here right now, because in a certain respect, that's how often I think those exceptions become the perception. The first principle is this: anything you resist persists, grows stronger, dominates your life, or in this case, dominates your networking experience. So
if you take exception to something, you're resisting it. You're not allowing it to be the way it is, saying there's something wrong with this, but that keeps it around.
And you tend to then look for that. The second thing is the people that you're meeting can only show up exactly as they do.
They are.
And no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. You can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. So if you find yourself being taken aback by somebody,
that's the only way you could be.
But the third principle is the one that, in a certain respect, is threaded all throughout business, networking, and sex, not what you think. That is the awareness principle, where you see something without judging it. So, so a lot of what Ivan's talking to us all about today is getting interested or seeing how you operate without judging what you see. It allows you to compensate for it.
If you judge yourself for it, then you'll try to defend your doing it, and you'll continue to do it because you'll resist. Even though you say you want things to work out, your resistance to just seeing the way you operate will keep you forever operating the way you used to. There's no possibility for you to get these aha moments where you see something you've been doing that's been getting in your way, then you no longer have to do it. If you don't see it because you don't want to see that aspect of yourself, then you get stuck with it.
Well, I think those three fit really well with what we're talking about. They're right on the mark, and I could see why you would integrate it here. That's perfect.
Yeah, well, that's why we say it's our work seems to dovetail with what you're talking about in your book.
Yeah, and I think people often feel, you know, when gender's a hot topic. People, you know, talk about gender, and is, you know, they're ready to die on the hill for their position. It's interesting because if we were talking about behavioral styles, like a DISC, where you're looking at, you know, drive, influence, steadiness, compliance, people have no problem with that because behavioral styles, they're not real controversial. And so, you know, one person may learn how to deal more effectively with some other behavior, but when it comes to gender, it's like, oh no, you know, I don't, we can't talk about that, or it's, you know, they're not really that different or whatever. And I think you need to address those differences and similarities in the same way that you might take a look at behavioral styles or profiles. Understanding the opposite sex in a business context is enables us to bridge that gender gap and work more effectively with one another. And we're not suggesting to anyone that a man be more like a woman or that a woman be more like a man. We're suggesting that you learn how to communicate with that woman, and that woman learn how to communicate with that man, and that may be a little bit different.
I really find that quite frequently, just on a very small level, where Shai and I work out together, we go to a Pilates studio, and depending on who the other clients are, I would say the clients in that studio are 95%
women.
Yeah.
And so when we go in, it's very interesting, depending on who the instructors are and who the clients are, whether or not Shia is treated
and
as the enemy.
And all of the instructors are women.
Yeah. So there's a bonding, collusive nature that from time to time is very intolerant of men. And I see it not just with Shia, because from time to time there are other men there as well. And
yeah, I've seen at least two other men in the 5 or 8 years that we've been there.
I often think that they're missing out on I'm certain that they don't even recognize that bonding that they do actually repels men or rejects them without even getting a chance to see them.
Well, they have ideas about who, for instance, I am,
right,
and how I think, and they hold me to their ideas rather than ever asking me about my opinion on something. They assume they know because I'm a man, I think a certain way.
Right.
Fascinating to watch.
And I've seen that to a lesser extent, probably, but I've seen it in women's business groups. Many years ago, before I started BNI, I was actually a member of NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners. And I joined it because I was, you know, I was looking to get more exposure for, I was a business consultant at the time. And, you know, 98% of the people in that room were women. I was one of the few men.
Right.
And I certainly got that same reaction from women. But I learned, because I started business pretty young, I really got into management in my early 20s. I started my own business in my early to mid-20s. So my first hurdle was, he's a kid. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Forget about gender.
Right.
You know, he's young. So I had to deal with that, and I learned the best way to deal with it was to almost, I knew it, but kind of ignore it and just focus on what I knew. Focus on my skills. And that people would come around. If they're going to come around, they're going to come around because I could show them I knew what I was doing.
Right.
And that was the approach I used when I joined NABO, was, you know, they would certainly have impressions about who I am, and there's nothing I could do about that. So show them who I am and let that lead the way. And I ended up doing a ton of business in NABO, and the beautiful thing about it was I stood out. And
yes.
As long as you're not a male chauvinist pig and you're not looking for a date, you're professional. You do great in a networking environment. If you're a man with a lot of women, if you're a woman with men, you can do great because you know there'd be 100 people in the room and one or two were men, and there might be 5 consultants, but everybody knew who I was and what I did. because I was the only guy. So as long as you behave well, I think it can be an advantage, actually, in networking.
Yes, I think there'd be many men who are listening today who are actually, their eyes just opened. The idea of joining a women's networking group never would have occurred to them.
Right, and most of them, many of them, are completely open to allowing men to join. NABA is one of them. National Association of Women Business Owners.
Yes, we've spoken for them, and they were very receptive.
Right.
It was, you know, equally receptive to both Shai and I.
Actually, in certain respects, they were more receptive to what I had to say than Ariel, because if they disregard themselves because of their gender or hold themselves as less or you know, see, the conditioning of the culture has held women as less.
Yeah.
And so even if women have achieved great things, their underlying sense of themselves may still be based in the original enculturation that says women are less. I know times are changing very rapidly now, but that's still there. And I find it interesting that if, especially women who are like women activists, they don't listen to Ariel as well as they listen to me. They tend to disregard her.
You're right that things are changing, but I think what also is a little bit different is a corporate mentality for women versus an entrepreneurial mentality for women. Most of the people that we surveyed were not corporate people. They weren't employees. They weren't in Fortune 500 companies. They were, for the most part, salespeople and business owners, entrepreneurs. And one of the things that we learned from this survey, and this, I think, is really powerful, is that it's not the same glass ceiling for entrepreneurs. As a matter of fact, for entrepreneurial women, I would argue it's less a glass ceiling than it is a retractable sunroof.
Right.
That because they own their own business, they're in control of who they are and what they do, they actually have more control over their success and their income than a woman who works for a company.
I absolutely get that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, you can see it. You know, in our clients, a lot of them are entrepreneurs and a lot of them are women, and but we have a few women who are in corporate America that are very successful also.
Great.
Quick segue, everybody. I just want to let you know the previous shows that Dr. Ivan Meisner was on with us. You can go back through our archives on transformationmadeeasy.com. Go to the radio show. Go to the archives. And in November 18th, 2009, that was the first time you were with us, we did a show on Being of Service, A New Possibility. And then the more recent was Networking Like a Pro, January 27th, 2010. So November 18th, 2009, or January 27th, 2010, you can go back into the archives. Of course, there are lots of other topics there that may be of interest, so feel free. But if you'd like to have more of Dr. Meisner with on our show, that's two places to look. And don't forget, BNI.com. We have to go to a break.
We do.
We shall be back shortly, so come on back.
And don't miss being here.
Visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to
receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes' fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes' books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here. A couple of things to let you all know what's upcoming. Very shortly now, we're going to be in Cambridge, England, doing the Step Into Your Brilliance course, June 22nd through 24th. And if you want to get involved with your creativity and intuition in New York City, we're offering a course the 27th through 29th. And you can find out more on our website at TransformationMadeEasy.com. We actually have a caller who would love to speak with you, Ivan. You ready?
I am ready.
Excellent. Valerie, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Excellent.
It's great to speak with you all. And Dr. Meiser, I've attended a couple of the events that you've spoken at. I'm a member of BNI, and I just thanks for everything you do because it's really made a difference for me.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And call me Ivan, please.
Okay, Ivan. Great. So, I mean, I guess my question is kind of a general one about I do a lot of networking, and that's generally how we get most of our business in our company is network through me, the owner of the company, hugely. There's some other people in our company who do networking, too. We don't do any advertising. It's really through the building of relationships. And I'm just curious about your tips or suggestions on how to get the most out of my networking efforts. I feel like sometimes I'm the follow-up aspect I can get, I'll fall behind in or not do as well in as the in-person networking, but just generally like making the most efficient use of my networking time.
Well, first of all, women tended to make more efficient use of their networking time than men did. Which was an interesting result, especially given who gets more business, which we'll come to later. The overall number of hours spent networking is about 6.5. It was exactly 6.31 hours. And that counts in the beginning of the interview. We talked about people who said that 91% said they achieved some success through networking. That includes the people who said they didn't achieve any success through networking. The average was about 6.5 hours. Interestingly enough, those people who said they didn't get any business through networking were about 5% or so, they spent less than 2 hours a week networking. Interesting number. You know, a third of the time. So there's a direct correlation between time spent and amount of business generated. Men spent 6.5 hours, 6.44 hours a week networking. Women spent about 6.1 hours a week networking. So women actually spent a little bit less time. They were actually more efficient at it, quite frankly. And so the things that I would focus on, I think, is you know, one of the, some of the recommendations that we have is first you got to devote the time necessary to achieve the results you want. And there's a direct correlation between time spent for most people and the amount of business generated, taking gender out of it. And you have to understand the VCP process. So you got to work your way through the VCP process. And as a woman, you got to move from credibility to profitability. You have to ask for that sale. And we have several examples in the book where women had relationships and they just assumed that when someone was ready to do business with them, they would. And they lost business.
Right.
They didn't ask for it. So you got to ask for that sale. And here's one that we haven't talked about. Systems, reading, coaching make a huge difference. And women are doing it more than men.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's great because being a member of BNI and also taking Ariel and Shia, your workshops, that I feel like that's allowed me to be more direct with people and also realize that no one has endless amounts of time and that I feel like I've gotten better at the asking for the sale, but also I like that as a suggestion because it's always... It's different for each person, and I can get stuck there sometimes.
You touched on something a moment ago, Valerie, that I think Ivan can address. You said that sometimes you get behind in your follow-up, and you talk a bit in your book about systems for follow-up. Do you have any advice about that?
Well, one of the things we found is that those people who have systems for follow-up and systems to track business, systems to stay in contact, tended to do much better in their networking efforts than those people who did not. And so you want to incorporate those kinds of things. And there are a lot of different systems out there for tracking, you know, your database management systems like Relate to Profit. Relate with the number 2 profit.com. It's a website. I'm not associated with the website, but I like it. It's really good. It helps track. And I've also allowed them to use my trademark VCP process in there so they can so you can keep track of where you're at with people. Are you visibility, credibility, or profitability, which is real important in communication. So, there's resources like that. There are training programs like the Referral Institute. I am associated with them, where they do seminars and training. And I'd also recommend the book Networking Like a Pro, because in there we have a whole section on your networking scorecard and how you keep track of all your networking efforts, one of which is follow-up. So those are some resources that would help.
Oh, great. Thank you. I have the book. I'll go back to that section.
Yeah, it's towards the end.
Okay, excellent.
Personal note, Valerie, we obviously know you. You've gotten so much more efficient. I think you spent a lot of time in the relationship almost like in a back eddy or in a cul-de-sac. You went from relationship building to staying there when you didn't quite know what to do next. You kind of hit a holding pattern.
Right.
So you keep relating, but you don't ask for the sale.
Yes.
And I see as you have more and more confidence now, I see you... closing a lot more sales. It's really wonderful to watch.
Great, thank you.
Well, Hazel has a great story from her research with the book, my co-author, where she was on a board with a woman who did silk screening of shirts, and the board was run. It was a nonprofit board, run by a woman, and she gave the business to a competitor of the woman who's on the board who did silk screening. And so the board member called Hazel and said, "Can you believe that? Well, I'm shocked. Why didn't she ask me?" She said, "Well, look, let's pick up the phone and call her. Let's meet with her and talk to her and ask her why." And the executive director of the nonprofit said to the board member, "I am so sorry. You've been on the board for several years. I just assumed that you weren't looking for the business because you never mentioned to me. I just, you know, not everybody wants to work with a nonprofit. Because they're low margin."
Oh, right.
"So I just assumed you didn't want to, and so that's the reason I went to the other person." And to me, that's a classic example of not asking for the business, just making the assumption that, hey, when they're ready, they'll ask me.
But, well, you know, we find that in our seminars, that when we suggest that somebody join us for a weekend, actually say it to them, they come,
right,
for the most part. And
right,
left to their own devices, they don't just show up.
Right.
And women out there, asking a person to come or asking if they want a website or asking if they want to have your silk screen, you're taking care of them. That's not being pushy. That's taking care of another person. And it's,
you are so
interested,
right,
in them.
You are so right. Couldn't agree more.
That's great. Thank you.
Valerie, your boss, Amy, is one of the best networkers I've ever said, and she's never been hesitant to ask. Do you need help with your website?
I love that. Well, you mentioned, like, mentorship, Ivan. It's so, I feel like with Amy, who's my boss, it's amazing to watch sometimes, because she doesn't even have a thought. She just, it's like, hey, who does your website? She's so excited about it,
right,
when she sees an opportunity in someone who may need what she does. It's really, yeah. It's
but what you always get from Amy also, Valerie, is that she's not looking for the sale as much as she's taking care of that person. They,
right,
work hand in hand.
Absolutely,
the chance to get the sale is not what's primary. What's primary is to take care of the person there. And that gets her sales.
Right. So true.
So
you mentioned mentoring, and there were several categories that we asked people how did they learn to networking, and mentoring was one of them. So between men and women, you know, we were curious who goes after more mentors. It turns out women scored higher than men in going after mentors. So taking seminars or classes, we asked men and women. Women took more seminars or classes on networking than men. They scored higher. Reading books on networking between men and women. Women read more books. We asked, did you learn how to network by participating in networking groups? Women learned how to network more than men. There's only one category left. The last category was, I just do it on my own. Okay, wait for it. That's right. Men scored
on my own.
On that, we, you know, it's embarrassing.
I don't need a GPS.
So
right.
This whole idea that we don't take directions is not, it's not a stereotype. It's a reality in this survey.
Wow.
So who's getting more business, Ivan?
Well, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, that's where it really comes down to all of this stuff you talk about, who's generating more business. And, you know, when we wrote this book, we did not want it to be another male bashing book, because there's a lot of those out there. So, guys, let me preface what I'm going to say with, the data is what the data is, and it doesn't look good for guys. The average percentage of business generated by the 12,000 all people in the survey, including those who said they didn't think networking was successful for them, was 46.7%. So people said that they generated 46.7% of their business through networking. Men generated 43.96%. Women generated 49.44%. So let's review. Women spent less time networking and generated greater referrals networking. They, based on the numbers, absolutely did better. And when we started looking at these numbers on another factor, and that was the relational approach, and you group men and women together, that's where it really became enlightening. Because whether you're a man or a woman, if you focused more on the relationship and then the business, you were going to do better than if you're really transactional and just try to focus on, let me get business. Real interesting finding for me.
That's
right. It's very logical that it would work that way. You know, people are interested in taking care of people who are taking care of them.
Right. Right. But oftentimes men don't think about that. You know, they're just going for the business and say, hey, let me meet this person, pass a card, do some business. And I think women are doing it a little better than we are at focusing on the relationship. And if they can just learn how to ask for the sale better, then we better watch out.
And the numbers
really
don't really jump.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, what I find interesting is most men are trying to prove that they've succeeded or okay, and that intense to prove that they already know everything there is to know, I think is the Achilles heel for most men, that they miss out on discovering something new because they think, I don't know what they think, that it somehow is less
a failing,
say, you don't know.
Well, listen, I asked John about this, John Gray, about this very issue, and it was interesting what his response was. He said, look, to some extent, it's biological. And that surprised me. I'm like, how is this biological? Particularly with the idea of learning. He said, when a man accomplishes something, they fix something, they solve something. It actually releases testosterone, which reduces stress in a man. Collaborative efforts, like working together and talking things through, actually release estrogen in a man. And too much estrogen is a stress inducer in men. And so the collaboration can actually increase stress. Solving problems can decrease stress. And so one of the things that we came out of this was, look, men have to look at this as the collaboration is the goal. That if you go in here, understand that we need to learn, we need to collaborate, we need to work together, and we accomplish what we want to accomplish by doing those things, then it's easier, I think, for men to deal with that issue, because it's, to some extent, potentially biological, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and in a certain respect, it's a relief, because you don't have to take it personally. You don't have to take what you do well personally or what you don't do well personally. You can observe it in a more neutral manner and just take action based on what you see rather than judge yourself for what you see.
So true, which takes us back to where we started with the discussion, is don't take it personal. It's the idea here is to improve our skills. We do that in so many ways. People do that in so many ways. You know, doing it as it relates to gender, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, especially if the goal is to be able to work better with the opposite sex.
Absolutely. And, of course, I know that we're not talking about a relationship at home, but I'm sure translates into relationships at home as well.
Really, listening is an amazing tool.
And actually seeing and understanding how the opposite sex works is amazing as well.
Yes. You know, I want to personally thank you very much, Ivan, for the incredible endorsement you gave us for our new book, How to Create a Match Made in Heaven.
How
to create a magical relationship and how to have a match made in heaven. I combined them.
We are very honored to feature you on the top of the back of our book. So.
Well, it was my pleasure to do it. Seriously, I was happy to do that. I was given great advice many years ago by a very well-known author who I didn't know well, and I asked him if he would do an endorsement for me, and he did. And I asked him, well, thank you, but why did you do it? Because I don't know you real well. And he gave me great advice. This is like 1993. And he said, my advice to you is, if you ever start writing books where a lot of people, you start buying it, and people start coming to you asking for endorsements, do every single endorsement that you can, as long as you like the book. You got to like the book. It's got to be authentic. So if you like the book, do the endorsements. And I said, why? He said, because your name will end up on the back cover or the front cover. And he said, listen, it's a win-win, because you build your name recognition and your brand while you're helping a friend or an associate. The key is you got to like the book. I love the book. I was happy to do it. It was good advice I was given one day.
Ran out of time.
We need to go. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully you will come back again sometime
Yes,
soon.
And Valerie, thank you for calling in today.
Thanks
Valerie,
so much.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Valerie, and good luck in BNI. I'm glad you're a member.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Well, it went fast. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.